Our main Bible passage this evening is found in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Just a selection of verses there that will come up on the screen. We're going to pick up in verse 14 of chapter 1 of Genesis, 14 to 18. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And then into chapter 2, and just the opening three verses of Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And I was encouraged to discover that they did know that it takes 365.25 days for the Earth to orbit the Sun. As an aside, that's why we hold back the 0.25 days and have an extra day in the calendar every 4 years. We're back to school and we talked about the Earth moving around the Sun, that it rotates or spins, and they were able to tell me that it takes 24 hours for the Earth to rotate what we know as our day. The part of the Earth facing the Sun is lit up, making it daytime. And as the Earth spins, the part facing away from the Sun moves out of shadow and into the light, changing from night to day. We can add that the Earth's axis is slightly tilted, so that throughout the year, different parts of the Earth get the Sun's direct rays. Therefore, we get our seasons, spring, summer, autumn and winter. Well, amazing as all that is, we're not surprised about this wonderful rhythm of nature. Why? Because we're told at the beginning of the Bible that this is God's handiwork. And that's what I shared with the children, interestingly, without any negative comeback on it. That here we have the great Creator God. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will serve as signs for seasons and for days and years. They will be lights in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule over the day, the lesser light to rule over the night, as well as the stars. God placed them in the expanse of the sky to provide light on the earth, to rule the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. In a while we'll sing these words, the perfect wisdom of our God revealed in all the universe. All things created by his hand and held together at his command. He knows the mysteries of the seas. The secrets of the stars are his. He guides the planets on their way and turns the earth through another day. Well, people may well refute the very first verse of the Bible where we're told that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And yet here we see God's wisdom the wisdom that gives us the days, it gives us the seasons by which our life is ordered. No wonder David writes in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. But here's the thing. Just when we think it's all done, we're suddenly presented with another day. And on the seventh day. Why does this seventh day even need to be mentioned, in the sense that nothing seems to be created on that day? We've had 6 days of creation. Indeed, why did God create the universe in 6 days? Why didn't he do it all in one day or over millions of years? Amazingly, God was establishing a pattern for the cycle of work and rest, a permanent pattern for the good of humanity. It is a pattern that is reflected in the calendar the entire world depends on in order to measure time. Every week we go through a cycle that God established as a perpetual reminder that he created the world in 6 days, and the seventh day is a memorial to that completed creation. So let's just look at it, these verses, using just 2 words from the opening of Genesis chapter 2. And the first word is finished. Finished. Every seventh day is to be a reminder of the power and the glory of God expressed in the magnificence of 6 day creation. Note in verse 3 that we read earlier, where God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. We find people arguing over what a day might consist of in creation, but Genesis 1 has already told us. Indeed, the introduction of the seventh day here at the beginning of chapter 2 confirms to us the whole idea of literal days. Indeed, it is further confirmed in the Ten Commandments, where God says in Exodus 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day." So have you ever wondered why the Bible includes information about a seventh day? Because on the face of it, there is no need for it. But here we see the completeness of God's creation. Genesis 1 verse 31 brings the whole thing to a great finale, doesn't it? God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. This is a great finale, this great build-up. A perfect creation. And I just love that phrase, "and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." God views what he's made. He sees perfection. He sees glory. What else could it be? Well, the climax, surely, of creation is the creation of man and woman in God's own image. But there's something else to come. There's a seventh day in the cycle. Philip Everson writes about what he calls two peaks: the creation of human beings and the creation of the day of rest. Two peaks. God rests. God makes the seventh day special in that he blesses it, a day which celebrates a work completed. And you know, we can so easily find ourselves trying to figure out whether this day is to be on a Saturday or a Sunday, what we should or what we shouldn't do on a Sunday, wondering whether the law is still binding today, so much so that we can miss the whole point of what it is all about. The emphasis on this day is seen in a word that appears in both verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2. It's the word finished. God is the finisher of his work, which should encourage us still today that God will finish his work. God will finish what he has begun. Now, it could be argued that God hadn't finished, indeed, that his work continues. He causes the sun to rise. He sends the rain, and so on. Surely creation, it never is complete. As one writer puts it, in every beautiful sunset, we marvel at the work of the Creator, who is constantly involved in his world. And yet we can't escape the truth here, that God finished his work that he had done. And the seventh day confirms that. And it is here that we are to distinguish between God's creation and what we call God's providence. What is providence? Well, simply put, the providence of God is the ongoing working of his sovereignty to continually uphold, guide, and care for his creation. Providence tells us that the world continues to depend on God. Paul says in Acts 17, verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. So creation is God's original work. Providence is his ongoing work in the world to provide for it and to sustain it. But in Genesis 2, the creation is complete. And then something else happens that we might not anticipate. Here we have our second key word. And it's found in both verses 2 and 3. And that second word is rested. Finish, rested. You see that in those opening verses. It's an interesting thought here, isn't it? And in fact, it's mentioned twice. But why? Surely God doesn't actually need to physically rest. Isaiah 40, verse 28 is clear when it says, "The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary." Psalm 121, verse 4 confirms this with the words, "Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." So there's got to be something else, hasn't there? So why mention rest? The word rested can also be translated as ceased, in the sense that you complete a task. The Hebrew word is also linked to the word Shabbath or Sabbath. And this leads in well from our first key idea of God's work being finished. In the light of any suggestion that the universe evolved over billions of years, we point to the Bible and we point to the seventh day. And as Genesis 2, verse 1 puts it, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed." And it speaks of God's power, it speaks of God's plan, it speaks of God's completeness. He gives a pattern to man regarding the structure of time, i.e. a seven-day week with rest built in. And as Jesus said much later in Mark 2 verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Doctors have argued from research that the body physically and mentally demands one day in seven for rest and change. When societies have tried to dispense with a rest day or have extended the working week, each time the experiment has failed. It should not, therefore, surprise us that man also needs that day in a spiritual sense. Hence, not only was the Sabbath given for rest, but was also to be holy. The idea of Sabbath had become so legalistic that they'd lost sight of its purpose. Because part of God's ongoing providence is this seventh day. As we've alluded to already, here is a pattern for the first Hebrew readers of Genesis. A seventh day that would be special. Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So here was that weekly reminder that we need rest and that we rely on God for our life and for all that he has made. It's often assumed, isn't it, that with the coming of Jesus, that the commandment embedded in the Ten Commandments no longer applies, that Christ has fulfilled all the law, and indeed he has in his coming and his work on the cross. But it is nevertheless a creation ordinance that we have here. And Jesus himself, by his teaching and through his example, demonstrated that the Sabbath was still applicable. He spoke against legalism, but nevertheless he kept the Sabbath. We have seen that every seventh day is a reminder of the power and the glory of God expressed in the magnificence of his creation. It is still part of a complete week. We have seen that we need rest. For Christians, that Sabbath moved from Saturday to Sunday in order to declare Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week. However, the need for Sabbath still applies. Christians will vary in their understanding of what one should do on Sabbath. Rest does not imply total inactivity, but it does imply change and renewal. God knew what we needed, that we do need to rest, both physically and spiritually. We have the joy of on this day meeting with God's people for mutual encouragement and strengthening. It is part of that day which the Lord has given to us that he blessed and made holy. And that is a crucial aspect of Sabbath, as is rest. And that's why the commandment still holds, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Not legalistically, but appreciating why God himself rested on that seventh day, because he had finished that creation, which we rejoice in. And we're amazed at, as we've sung, but also that rest, that ceasing, that renewal that we need, that worship that we need as well. And so when we think about creation, we think about 6 days, we think about what happened on each of those days, we think about that climax when man is made in the image of God. But let us never forget what happened on the seventh day, because God blessed that day. He made it holy, because on it God rested, or he ceased from his work that he had done in creation, thus giving us that rhythm of life which needs that rest also. So I trust that will just give us encouragement just to think about creation, to think about the wonderful truth of creation, think about the wonderful nature of it and what happened, but also to see what God has set in place for us by creating the world as he did. And may we learn how to benefit from Sabbath without it becoming legalistic to us, but in order for us to be restful, to be renewed, in order that we can go on each day living for Christ and serving him.